Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, discover the truth about truth and how you can please God by living in the truth.
There is truth, there is truth, there is love, there is love, there is hope that you always dream of. He can heal every scar.
We live in a day where absolute truth is thrown out the window. Everything is relative. It's my truth, your truth, his truth, her truth. People think what might be true for you might not be true for them. Well, how can you please God, who is the maker of truth, in this postmodern age? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us as we are beginning this month by featuring a new series from Pastor Jeff entitled The Church in the Last Days. Now, today, he'll share four encouragements from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. It's a message called Pleasing God in a Postmodern Age. Now, you'll hear part two of this timely lesson today. You can listen to part one that we aired last time when you go to fromhisheart.org, click the radio tab. There, too, you can download Pastor Jeff's outline and notes from this message. Now, though, open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here's Pastor Jeff with the lesson, Pleasing God in a Postmodern Age.
How can you please God in this postmodern age? You say, yeah, I've heard that, but I don't really know what it means. It means this. We live in a day and age where absolute truth is thrown out the window. Everything is just relative truth. It's my truth, your truth, his truth, her truth. It's just like, well, that's true for you, but it can be true for you and not true for me. Truth is truth. It's true for everyone. But see, we've taken out objective truth. And the question is, how can you please God in this kind of an age? Let's look and see from the Thessalonians. Verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus, that's the Roman name of Silas. Silas is the Jewish name. Silvanus is the Roman name. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, that's the missionary team, those three guys, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you. We brag on you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. Hey, this was a church and people who pleased God. So how can you be a people, a church, an individual who pleases God? How can we do that? Four encouragements from this passage. Encouragement number one, make certain that you truly belong to Jesus. If you want to please God, right off the bat, you have to make certain that you truly belong to Jesus. Now, there are many people in the New Testament that Jesus encountered, religious people. I mean, people who dedicated their whole lives to the law of God, and they were lost. Do you know that you belong to Him? Do you know that you are His? Do you know that you've given your life to Christ, that you've turned from sin and turned to the Savior? That's salvation. Do you have that? So that's the first encouragement. Make certain that you truly belong to Jesus. Encouragement number two, take responsibility to grow in your faith. Verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting. I mean, it's right for us to give thanks to God for you because your faith is greatly enlarged. I mean, you guys, your faith is growing like a weed. I mean, it is just growing in a huge way. That word greatly increased means to increase above ordinary degree. So let me ask you, how about your faith? Is your faith increasing? Are you growing in your faith? So a growing faith believes God. And then thirdly, a growing faith is revealed through trials. God tests us. He tests our faith. Faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And so God will allow trials to come into your life to test your faith. And the Thessalonians had lots of trials and lots of persecutions and lots of afflictions coming into their lives. They had so many that they thought they were living. They thought they had missed the rapture and that they were living in the tribulation period. That's how bad it was for them. And God was using all that to test their faith. There's a little trial in our world today. It's called the coronavirus. How are you doing with the coronavirus? Are you responding in faith or are you responding with fear? The world's watching to see. You have friends, you have neighbors, you have family members. They're watching to see how are you responding to this. Do you have faith? Do you have confidence? My life is in God's hands. I'm not worried and I'm not afraid. Or are you freaking out? You want to become the bubble boy. I'm just going to wrap myself in bubble wrap and hide in a closet because I don't want to be around anybody. Some people are responding, not quite that bad, but they're responding kind of like that. That's not a good thing. So this trial is showing you where you are. How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so afraid? Don't you know that I'm going to take care of you? Now, this is what I've determined to do about this coronavirus stuff. You know, you hear, I mean, it's all over the map, gang. This doctor says this, and this doctor says that, and Dr. Fauci says, you know, let's just all hide. He's not my favorite guy out there, but you get all these different opinions and all these numbers, and who knows what you can trust. My life is in God's hand. I'm not going to worry about a stinking virus. Now, that doesn't mean I'm shaking everybody's hand and then licking my palms. I'm not going to be stupid about it. But I'm not going to live in fear about it either. I'm just going to trust the Lord. Hey, if I get COVID-19, then I get COVID-19. If I get sick from COVID-19, all right, I get sick from COVID-19. If I die from COVID-19, then I go to heaven. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to be afraid about it. So a growing faith is revealed through the trials. How are you doing when the trials come? Take responsibility to grow in your faith. Third encouragement, ask God to love others through you. So he points out that they were the called out ones. They were sure about their relationship with Jesus. They had responded to his grace. And then he says that you have a growing faith. Your faith is greatly enlarged. And then he says in verse 3, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Man, Paul was so proud of them because of their love for one another. Now, remember, the two greatest commandments, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your might. Jesus said, that's the great and foremost commandment. The second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I work on the horizontal, on the vertical relationship between myself and God. And as John says, we love because he first loved us. So he loves me. I respond to his love. I love him back. He fills my heart with love so I can love other people. Now, this is what John says in 1 John chapter 4. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Hey, you can't see God. I can't see God, but we can see people. We can see each other. And John says, hey, if you hate your brother, don't say you love God because you're a liar. You can't love God and hate your brother. So the Thessalonian church, one of the hallmarks of that church is how much they loved one another. And that's such a testimony to a lost and dying world is when we love one another. And we don't just love people in the family, we love people outside of the family. And you say, yeah, I'm struggling to love some people in my life. Maybe it is a relative that you struggle to love that person because they just grind your gears. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's somebody that sits by you at work. They're in the office next to you or the cubicle next to you or whatever. And it's just, man, it's just, you know, oil and water, you just don't get along very well and you just struggle with that person. How can you love them? You remember this. As a believer, the Lord lives in your heart through the person of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus died for everybody. He loves everyone. And so if the one who lives in me is the one who created everything and he loves everyone, then I can say, Lord, love through me. I don't love this person. I'm really struggling with this person, but you love them. So love through me. And you might want to jot this down. See, real love sees people the way Jesus sees them. The way Jesus sees them. We see people out of our own, you know, we see the outward. The Lord looks at the heart, and the Lord sees people in a way we don't see them. Real love sees people the way Jesus does, and real love does not sidestep the truth. We've had a phrase in Christian circles for years and years and years that says this: love the sinner, hate the sin. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Did you know that people don't like that phrase now? Some of this new crowd, this woke crowd, they say, oh, don't say that, love the sinner, hate the sin, because that doesn't show the sinner that you love them. Like, well, I don't know why it wouldn't. I mean, God loves me, a sinner, but he doesn't love my sin. He hates my sin. And so how is that a bad thing to love the sinner and hate the sin? Well, they say, because here's what people are doing today. They're taking their sin and they're attaching it to their personhood. And they say, this is who I am. And if you say that you love me and you don't love my sin, then you don't really love me, because my sin is who I am. Anytime somebody takes his or her sin, whatever that sin is, and attaches it to their personhood, man, they isolate themselves from God, because God hates sin. The Lord can't have fellowship with sin. Habakkuk chapter 1, he's too pure to look upon sin. So if you want to say, well, Lord, I want you to approve of me and my sin, he won't ever do that. He can't do that. He said, I died on the cross. I suffered and bled and died to pay the price for your sin, because I hate sin, and there will never be any sin in my presence. So we do love the person and hate the sin. And that's good and right and fine. And that's biblical. And remember this, Jesus doesn't bypass sin. He doesn't sidestep the truth of what your problem is, what my problem is, because the problem killing people and sending them to hell is sin. Sin. It's like the cancer doctor. He has to deal with cancer unless he doesn't care about you and says, oh yeah, come see me. I'll never talk about cancer. We'll just let that cancer keep growing in you until it destroys you. No, he's got to deal with the cancer. He's got to say, we got to take this out. We got to get this out. Otherwise, it's going to kill you. And so we don't sidestep the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Real love doesn't sidestep the truth. We desperately need to tell people the truth. Jesus said, when he met the disciples after his resurrection, Luke chapter 24, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. As we get closer and closer to the coming of the King, what are we supposed to be doing? What did John the Baptist do? What did Jesus do? They had the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Paul was in Athens, so he's Thessalonica, ran out, goes to Berea, leaves Berea, goes to Athens. And when he's in Athens, his spirit is provoked because of all the idol worship that's going on in Athens. And he gets up and preaches. And at the end of his sermon, he says this, for God is declaring that all men everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. God is calling us to repent. For revival to come to America, and we desperately need revival to come to America, America must recognize its sinfulness and repent. And if we will repent, starting with the church of God, if we will repent and get right with God, then the Lord says, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Real love tells people the truth. And then encouragement number four, not only do we make certain we belong to Jesus, not only do we take responsibility to grow in our faith, not only do we ask God to love others through us, but we persevere through the worst of suffering. Verse 4, therefore we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. These people were going through it. It was so bad in Thessalonica that Paul couldn't stay there. They had to get him out because it's like, man, they're going to tear us apart if you stay here. And so they had to get him and Silas and Timothy out. Paul was concerned about these people. He was concerned with all the persecution. How are you doing? Have you turned away from the Lord? Because if you turn up the heat, you find out very quickly who's genuine and who's not. These Thessalonians were genuine because when the persecution came, they grew in their faith. They didn't wither and die. James chapter 1, verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Hey, persevere through the worst of suffering. That word persevere is hupomone in the Greek. It means to remain under. It means you stay under this situation and you don't bail out. You stay in a marriage, even though it's hard, and it would be so much easier to just bail, you stay there. You know, many pastors, they get in a church and there's difficulty in the church and they don't like it. And they say, anything is better than this. And many times they jump out of the frying pan into the fire. God didn't want them to leave, but they left and they're thinking, you know, the grass is greener somewhere else because this place stinks. And they jump into another place and it's like, yeah, you got the same problem. You should have just stayed under. You should have just remained. You should have just endured and let God work in that situation. You know, none of us like difficulties and pressures and afflictions and suffering. Nobody likes that. We kind of look in Christian circles as the goal is to stay away from all that stuff. If you ever find suffering, get away from it because that's not a good thing. And if you believe the prosperity gospel, they never talk about suffering in the prosperity gospel because why? God wants you healthy and God wants you wealthy and God wants you, you know, hitting on all eight and everything should just be great. And if you hit suffering, oh, well, there must be some sin in your life because no way does God want that. You know, that the crazy thing about that, look at all the suffering that Jesus went through. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He suffered. He suffered in the garden. He suffered on the cross. He suffered when people laughed in his face. He suffered when here the God of the universe, the King of glory in human form, and they said he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of the demons, by the Lord of the flies. That's what they said about Jesus. Those hurt. You know, you think it hurts you if somebody says something nasty to you on social media. They would say it to Jesus' face. They would laugh in his face. And he had the power. He could have just snapped his fingers and they would be obliterated. But he loved them. He saw what they could be. Hey, nobody likes suffering. But here's the thing. God likes suffering because suffering purifies. God is glorified in your life and my life when we experience suffering and we still praise him. We still trust him. When Job got all the news, hey, Job, you lost all your kids. Job, you lost all your wealth. And Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I shall return there. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he chose to trust God, even though his heart was broken in 1,000 pieces. Chose to trust God. He didn't understand. You don't have to understand. And here's the thing. The Lord presents himself in Scripture as a a refiner of silver and a refiner of gold. And if you YouTube a refiner of silver or gold, you'll find, how do they do that? They do that with heat. And they put the precious metal in the cauldron, so to speak, and they turn up the heat. And then all the scum, all the impurities out of that silver, out of that gold, they come up to the top and then they scrape it off. They draw off the dross so that all that is left there is pure. Job says, and when he's tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. He knew that the Lord was trying him and the heat was really, really hot. But God was using that to take away the dross from Job's life. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 4, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. So also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation." Hey, are you suffering? Don't quit. Just hang in there. Stay under that and say, "God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. And it's difficult where I am. And everything within me says bail." But the Lord says, stay with it. Stick with it. Trust me. Keep your eyes fixed on me. And at the proper time, after you have suffered for a little while, the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 5, "The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you."
Well, I certainly hope that these have been stirring insights for you today. You've been listening to Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, with a message entitled, "Pleasing God in a Postmodern Age." You heard part two of this lesson today. It's from the series, "The Church in the Last Days," that we've just begun this month. In Paul's letters to the Thessalonians, he talks about the signs of the times, the rapture, and the rise of the Antichrist. And in order to live an effective Christian life, we need to keep the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the return of Christ on the forefront of our minds and hearts. In this new 8-message series, he shares the good news of the return of the King and how you and I are to live a life of expectation for our blessed hope that is coming soon. And this series is also our gift of thanks to you this month for your support of any amount to From His Heart. To get your series in the format of your choice, you can call 866-40-BIBLE. That's 866-40-BIBLE. Or go online to fromhisheart.org. The series is available on CDs, a USB flash drive, or immediate MP3 download. Pastor Jeff Shreve receives no income from this ministry. Everything you give goes directly to helping us share these timely lessons to a lost and a dying world. So thanks again for what you can do to join with us in this outreach every day on this and hundreds of great stations around this nation and around the world, all who need to hear about the church in the last days. God bless you. We also hope you'll visit our website each day, where you can hear a daily Real Hope Minute from Pastor Jeff. Sign up for the weekly Real Hope email encouragement letter that you'll get every Friday morning in your inbox, or download an MP3 of any broadcast you may have missed. Plus, you can easily join Pastor Jeff on Facebook and Twitter for his regular comments, commentary, and encouragement throughout the week. The web address again, fromhisheart.org. Well, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be sure to join Pastor Jeff this weekend on television. We broadcast on several national networks and local stations. You can find it on your local listings or go to fromhisheart.org for details. And be sure to be right back here next time when we continue to find out more about the church in the last days, when we open up God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more go to fromhisheart.org.